So we're going to be in Acts 2 for just a few minutes here. As I said, we're picking high point chapters of the Bible in for these Sunday videos. And if you'll recall, last weekend, Good Friday and Easter, certainly two big chapters there. John chapter 19, the cross, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And then on Easter Sunday, we were in Matthew 28, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his commission to the church to make disciples of all the nations. And today, following on that, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, which is all about the gift of the Holy Spirit to us. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude gathered together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. 'In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, that great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced, and my flesh will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord, and a powerful, powerful picture of the work of the Holy Spirit. So why would we view this chapter as one of the high point chapters of the Bible? Well, certainly because it tells us that the ministry and the teaching of Jesus continued on through his apostles. Also because in this chapter we get the first public proclamation of the gospel coming from the apostles, all about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is a powerful chapter, a high point chapter, because it gives us the first glimpse into the early church that is gathered in Jerusalem, the followers of Jesus. So there are many angles that we can, from which we can view this chapter. But the one that we want to focus on today is the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church. Acts 1 and 2 tells us this, that after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. And from heaven, he poured out the promised Holy Spirit upon his church as a gift to those who have faith in Jesus Christ and are following him. So as we read through this chapter, we can see many things about the Holy Spirit, but I want to draw out seven of them to encourage us today. First of all, we see that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. In verse 17, when Peter is quoting the prophet Joel, he says that the Lord says he will pour out his Spirit. I will pour out my Spirit, says the Lord. This is the Spirit of God. God is one living and true God in his being. God is a Trinity existing as one being in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is an equal and distinct person along with the Father and the Son of God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is with us. He is in us as a gift, those who are born of the Spirit. So we honor God the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Another thing we see in this chapter is that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. And what's happening here is a fulfillment of Jesus, of something that Jesus said before he left earth, recorded in the Gospel of John. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit and said that it is to our advantage that Jesus would actually return to the Father so that the Holy Spirit can come to us and do his work on earth. In John 16, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he is going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So when the Holy Spirit comes, which he has come, he now shows people their sin, convicting them of their sin for not believing in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit shows people that their form of righteousness is false, and that Jesus is righteous, and Jesus will make us righteous by faith. And the Holy Spirit shows people that their judgments of right and wrong are false, and that they will be judged along with the ruler of this world. Now, Jesus said that in John 16, but we see it actually happening in Acts chapter 2, because when these people heard the word of Jesus, it says they were cut to the heart. That means they were convicted. The Holy Spirit is at work in them. And so they cry out, "What shall we do?" So we see Jesus said it's to our advantage that he go to send the Spirit, and this is happening. The third thing we see about the Holy Spirit is that he exalts Christ. So when we read, for instance, in verse 36, the empowered testimony is that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ. Jesus, who they crucified, God has raised him and exalted him. He is now both Lord and Christ. So it's the work of the Holy Spirit to exalt Jesus in our minds as Lord and Christ. A fourth thing we see about the Holy Spirit is that it is the Spirit of God who turns people to Christ. So, for instance, when we read in verse 37, that after hearing this gospel message and being convicted by the Spirit, they have received the word, they are baptized, and they are added to the church. It's not Peter or the apostles who turned these people to Christ. It's the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. And then we see a fifth thing: the Holy Spirit empowers and emboldens his church to witness about him. The Holy Spirit is the one who gave them this power to stand with courage and love and conviction and speak a clear message of Jesus. You know, the Holy Spirit does not look for people who are bold so he can use them. The Holy Spirit emboldens people and then uses them. So we don't have to worry about being bold and courageous and strong in our own selves, because God's not looking for strong people. God's filling weak people with his Spirit, who then are emboldened by him to be his witnesses in the world, to fill them with new power, clarity, and love, and then to commission his church for mission in the world. A sixth thing, which is the most obvious from Acts chapter 2, is the Holy Spirit has come. He is in the believer. Believe that. The Holy Spirit is among his gathered people, the church. We need to believe this. And the Holy Spirit is now working in the world, convicting the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, turning people to himself, to Christ. We need to believe this. This is the testimony of Acts chapter 2. And the final thing that we see is that while the Spirit has come, the day of Pentecost, we still pray for the Holy Spirit. We still pray for him to work. We still pray for him to fill us, to give us new power, new vision, new conviction about who he is, to give us love. We still pray that the Holy Spirit will make us holy like Jesus Christ and launch us into the world as witnesses to his grace. We're still praying that the Holy Spirit will draw more and more people to himself. And he will do this. Why wouldn't he do this? Think with me. Why wouldn't the Holy Spirit still fill his church with boldness and love and clarity and courage? Why wouldn't he fill you with the fruit of the Spirit as you yield to him? He will. He does, and he will. And so let us pray for this, and let us expect this. Let us be looking for the work of the Spirit and rejoice in him. And above all, let us yield our lives to God by yielding to the work of the Spirit as he brings the word into our hearts to bring us to repentance and faith and growth and Christ-likeness. Listen, Grace Community Church, God is still God. The Father is still in control over all things. Jesus the Son is still Lord and ruling and will return. And the Holy Spirit is still with us. So let's pray and let's expect and let's believe and let's yield to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this message, the message of the Holy Spirit, the reality of the Holy Spirit, and then the message of it given to us in the book of Acts. Thank You for the encouragement that we draw from this, the truth that You have truly filled us with Yourself in the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the reality that the gathered people of Jesus Christ are filled with the Spirit, and You are with us, and You are empowering us. Thank You that You are empowering us with the Spirit that we might follow Jesus in this world and be on His agenda and be His witnesses. And thank You that You, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will turn more and more people. You've turned us, and You will turn more, and You will keep turning people in repentance and faith to Yourself. And so this is our hope. We rejoice in it today. And now, Lord, we pray that every person at Grace Community Church today would go back to Acts 2, would pick up this chapter and evaluate his or her own life before it, would yield to the indwelling of the Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. Even our own people, the members of our church and those who are watching who are believers, let there be a new cleansing, a new repentance, a new resolve to live in submission to the leadership of Your Spirit. And Father, it is our prayer that You would turn people to Yourself who may be watching this video right now, that You would convict them of sin, righteousness, judgment. They would see Jesus on the cross. They would see the empty tomb. They would know their sins are forgiven, that new life is in Christ, and they would turn and trust Him. Lord, in these days, pour out Your Spirit in a fresh way. Revive Your church. This is our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.